Time now for a visit to Washington for our weekly look at the inner workings of Congress.
Here's what's going on. Yesterday, accusations of CIA spying on Congress came to a head when Senator Dianne Feinstein said the agency had tampered with files in an investigation by the Senate Intelligence Committee.
Also, earlier this week, Republican David Jolly won a congressional seat in a special election in Florida. We'll find out if that's a good sign of things to come in midterm elections this fall.
But before we get to that, the House is looking for permission to sue the president. Paul Singer is with us now. He's Congress and Politics Editor at USA Today. He joins us every Wednesday at this time. Paul, welcome back.
Great. Thanks for having me back on, Rob.
Well, you tipped us off to this. The House wants to sue President Obama for overstepping the bounds of his role as president. What's the story leading up to that?
Well, as you are probably aware, President Obama, with the State of the Union address, was saying, heck, we can't wait for Congress to do stuff. We're going to do stuff on our own. We're going to do things through more executive orders and more unilateral executive action. The Republicans in Congress obviously are offended by that idea. They also, part of this is an outgrowth of the immigration fight. As you no doubt remember, President Obama made a big splash a year or two ago when he announced that they would stop deporting young people who were brought to this country illegally and remain undocumented immigrants here. And basically what the Republicans are saying is you can't choose which laws to enforce and which laws not to enforce. The administration is required to enforce the laws that Congress passes. And so the bill that's currently on the floor, and I believe they're voting even as we speak, would allow Congress to sue the administration if they fail to enforce the laws as passed. There's a second version of this bill that would require the administration to file a report with Congress every time they make a decision not to enforce a law. Some of the examples have been, well, you know, what about a mandatory minimum sentencing, for example, or other things where the Justice Department is trying to apply some discretion. They would have to report that to Congress and give Congress essentially an opportunity to overrule.
Have we heard from the White House with a response to this?
Yes. The response from the White House was, forget about it. They issued two separate veto threats, saying that the president would veto these bills if they were passed by the Senate. They will likely be passed by the House. They likely will never see the light of day in the Senate. And the administration's point here is that the law enforcement authorities always have to express some discretion to which things will be priorities, which things will not be priorities. I mean, in theory, it's illegal every time I go more than 55 miles an hour, but that may not be the highest priority use of law enforcement resources. Similarly, by the way, in some places, they were no longer enforcing marijuana laws, right, even though they're still on the books. So that kind of stuff, the administration says we're supposed to have the flexibility to do that kind of stuff, and this is an unreasonable attempt to tie the hands of the law enforcement community.
Well, if this isn't going to pass the Senate and would be vetoed if it did, is this one of those symbolic pieces of legislation you talk about sometimes?
Yeah, it's to some degree it's campaign bait. One of the things that the Republicans have repeated throughout the year and will continue throughout the campaign season is that the Democrats and President Obama want government overreach, want big government, a sort of imperial power here where Obama wants to act alone. That's going to be a theme you're going to hear the rest of the summer. We can talk about it up until Election Day. And I think that these votes are sort of the start of that theme for Congress this year.
Well, now here's a big story and kind of a weird one. Senator Dianne Feinstein of California yesterday very publicly accused the CIA of, in effect, spying on the Senate Intelligence Committee, tampering with some files. What exactly is she accusing them of?
This is really interesting. The Senate Intelligence Committee has been trying to put together a report on waterboarding and torture under the Bush administration. And they've been working, supposedly, fairly closely with the CIA on this report. And my understanding of what happened here is some information leaked or was released from that report. The CIA went to look at how it got released and reported to the Justice Department that they were concerned that there had been a leak by the staff. Feinstein's comments on the floor yesterday were remarkable. What she claims is that they basically broke into the committee's computers and were spying on the committee to figure out who had leaked this information, and said it was a violation of the Constitution. The CIA immediately said, no, we didn't, and this was not a violation, and we were dealing with documents that we've been sharing all along and stuff. It's really interesting because it's the first time you've seen in public this kind of accusation back and forth between the chairman of the Intelligence Committee and the Central Intelligence Agency. It is obviously a very sensitive relationship at this point, and it just boiled over.
And hearing both of them, they both sound very sure of their side of the story. This isn't just some minor misunderstanding. They have very different views on what happened here.
They do, and that's not all that surprising because, you know, as you know, the Senate is extraordinarily, Congress is extraordinarily protective of its own prerogatives, very concerned particularly about spying and eavesdropping by the administration. You know, this has been a whole thing with the NSA. You know, our Senate records or congressional records protected from the NSA. There were some reporters whose phone records were being captured, again, within the halls of Congress. It's a very delicate situation because this is there is a very, very clear rule that, you know, the administration cannot be doing law enforcement in the Capitol buildings.
Well, and beyond that, though, the CIA in particular isn't supposed to be doing domestic spying, period,
well,
on Congress or anybody, right?
That's right. And this is the kind of stuff that will drive Congress insane. They're very protective of these kind of things. And it's one thing, you know, if we catch the CIA doing domestic spying, they'd probably yell. You catch them doing domestic spying on members of Congress, Congress goes nuts.
And this all goes back to 9/11, right? So the thing they're investigating is the coercive interrogation, waterboarding, and things like that.
That's right. Apparently there is a report. It's like a 6,000-page report that's been kicking around now for quite some time about what happened. And you know, Feinstein said yesterday that this waterboarding was a policy, and the report says this waterboarding was a policy we never should have implemented. So again, I suspect that part of the issue here is this report is going to be very critical of the CIA. The CIA has asked for some changes to be made. There is obviously some disagreements about exactly what should be in this report. It's a very touchy situation at the moment.
Before we move on, who is the referee in this touchy situation between a prominent Senate Intelligence Committee member, chair, and the CIA?
You know, that's a really good question. I don't know. The Justice Department is obviously involved here because some of the question is whether or not the committee actually did something wrong or someone on the committee did something wrong. I presume they would have some ability to referee this. You know, ultimately, I suspect this becomes a White House issue where they can sit the parties down and say, we have to play nicely together.
Well, another story in Congress this week, a midterm or a little election in Florida there leading up to the midterm elections. A Republican, David Jolly, won a seat in a special election in Florida. A lot of people watching this one as an indicator, looking for tea leaves in what's going to happen this fall. Is this a valid indicator, do you think?
Well, you're right to say tea leaves. You know, tea leaves are not always wrong, right? It's certainly interesting. The outcome is certainly interesting. This was a district that had voted for President Obama. It was a district that had a Republican member of Congress for a long, long time, like 40 years. He passed away, and this was the election to replace him. And one of the key themes of this election was Obamacare. The Democrat was saying, we can save Obamacare and fix it and address the law's flaws. And the Republican was saying, no, we have to repeal it. It's a disaster. The reason people were looking at this race is they thought, well, if that message of Obamacare repeal is a really strong motivator, that indicates that Democrats are going to have trouble in the fall. In the end, the Republican did win this race, and today the Democrats on their conference call with their pollster were saying, yes, we believe the Affordable Care Act was a real motivating factor for people voting for the Republican candidate. Now, will it still be a motivating factor in November? We don't know. Will it still be a motivating factor all over the country? We don't know. But if nothing else, it appears that the Affordable Care Act really did have an impact in this election, and it was an impact that was not good for the Democrats.
And Republicans are hoping for another 2010 when they swept Wisconsin big time and the rest of the country, too. Democrats are probably living in fear of another 2010.
Well, that's right. And you know, the thing is, for Democrats, it's the Senate. It's all about the Senate now. They're not likely to retake the House by any stretch of the imagination. There are a half dozen Senate seats that are in play. You know, it is a very close field. It looks like the Republicans have a chance. If Obamacare is going to be toxic, then Republicans have a really good chance.
Paul, thanks as always for joining us.
My pleasure, Rob. Thanks. Have a great day.
You too. That was Paul Singer. He's politics and Congress editor at USA Today. He joins us every Wednesday around this time to share his insights on what's going on in Congress.